Pokemon X game.
I want to hear about your weird Pokemans.
It was like I just have a DS Lite.
That's all I want to talk about.
I also spent 2 days trying to find a charger for a DS Lite. I found one.
I spent 3 days looking for a Dodge charger.
Eh?
No.
I spent 2 days trying to find a Dodge a charger for my DS Lite, and in the process bought like 7 video games because I was like, oh, I want this.
Yeah, okay. This can happen to you too. You always have like me. I went in there and they're like, we have a charger. And I was like, all right. So I gave the guy $75, and now I have to feed and clothe LaDainian Tomlinson.
I like the football reference.
Thank you.
LT.
Does he still play for the Chargers?
No, he retired like 2 years
ago. Oh, really? So it's not a very, like, current
At the same time, reference. Have you ever seen his, like, weird rap song about refs?
No.
It's awesome. It's just him going, like, I don't like that call.
The zebra stripes. That ain't right. You got the zebra stripes.
So
no, that ain't right. You got the zebra stripes. No, that ain't right. You
want to
fight?
It's about how he doesn't like the call, and it's not a very good call. Jim Rome uses it on his radio show.
I don't like the call.
Jim Rome sucks.
I like Jim Rome.
His radio.
When in Jim Rome.
I actually did used to listen to Jim Rome all the time. I only had AM radio in my truck.
When in Jim Rome, right? Unfortunately, he talks about his stupid horses a lot.
He has horses?
Yeah, he owns horses that, like, they run in, like, the Kentucky Derby and stuff. Like
the Kentucky Derby is decadent and depraved. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday, February the 12th, 2014. I am Joey G. With me, as always, is Mr. Ryan Heff.
Hi.
And Mr. Robbie G.
Hello.
What are you doing?
Don't we have a theme song?
Robot vampires running after me.
After him.
They want my brains, my blood, my body, all that they can eat.
You're not my commanding officer.
Jesse the Body.
Nah.
You don't have the next line, do you?
Is that Predator?
You can't remember the next line, can you?
Comics Roundup.
Geek Stampede.
I can't either. That was the shortened version of the theme song.
I always missed that last note.
Oh, it's a tough one. It is a tough note, actually. Of all the notes, that's the toughest.
You twanged it. What?
Yeah.
Guys, I'm such
twang.
A mix of emotions today. This might be horrible.
A mix of emotions?
I'm angry.
You shook up a little bit?
No, I'm like angry, but I'm also like
hungry.
Tired and very hungry and don't feel great. But at the same time,
you
I feel
mac and cheese if you want.
Oh, I'm okay. I'm also mentally sharp though. Like I feel really mentally sharp today.
Why are you angry, Ryan?
School stuff.
Yeah, school can suck my nuts, sack.
Yeah.
Things
didn't go my way.
They rejected you?
Kinda.
How do you kind of reject?
I mean, I'm used to rejection because women, but like it's...
Rob tells me you used to always have hot girlfriends.
I don't know. Were they?
Yeah, they. You had pretty ladies that were always.
And I was just like,
this
Ryan
is called
Hetherington?
I guess I did. Humble brag.
I guess a lot of.
I had a number of fine looking ladies
on each arm.
They were all no. Just one
you were styling,
time.
Profiling, jet flying.
Kiss stealing, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun, the nature boy, Ric Flair. Woo!
Yep, one.
I guess they're okay. They're all kind of like, you know, silly.
You just
to
like
be diplomatic.
Ran through a Ric Flair reference and then wooed into a microphone.
And then
you can't judge people for being silly.
Yeah, you can.
All right, yeah, you can.
Ric Flair is cool.
Ric Flair is no. Ric Flair is not even cool. He like surpasses cool.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah,
this is Ric Flair.
Carlito would not spit in his face.
Woo! Ric Flair was a wrestler, Robbie G.
He had white hair. And saggy titties. He's got
not
titties.
Not back in the old Starcade days, though. I'll tell you that right now.
No.
Not back in Flair Steamboat days.
Oh my goodness, you gotta watch Flair Steamboat.
Not back in, of course, Flair Rhodes. You know?
Flair.
Because
that
Dusty Rhodes,
got a lot of
Flair. Dusty
just
Rhodes,
a common man.
Dusty Rhodes don't do no J-O-B on the PPV at MSG.
He'll be your Huckleberry
I don't do
all
no
night
job
long.
On a pay-per-view.
The American Dween.
Message?
Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden.
I don't do message. No J-O-B on the PPV at MSG.
OMG.
He was a part of the job. But anyway, so this will be an important and an interesting night. Not
it will.
Not really important.
So welcome
but.
To our comic podcast where one of the hosts was going to read comics today and then went to sleep for 3 hours instead.
Good.
One of the hosts said he read one comic?
Me? I read eight.
Oh, and the other host... Okay, so it's actually just
I read
one
eight.
Host that's shitty.
I'm
a short Charlie. I don't even know where he is. I'm not even going to make a joke this time because I don't even know. I didn't know he wasn't coming until Ryan told me.
I told you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't know.
Yep. Well, I meant, yeah, I mean, like, when I asked, right?
This is a good story. I forgot which one of us. Every time I leave a house, I kind of, like, I flip a coin in my head and be like, oh, Charlie will probably won't be there tonight.
You know how you said you were really sharp today?
Yeah.
I'm not.
No?
No, my baby's teething.
So, basically, what we have here is a Freaky Friday situation.
Yes.
Who's Lindsay Lohan?
Obviously, Joey. I'm Jamie Lee Curtis because I take really good poops.
And you got some Mohan tits.
Yogurt commercial. Activia.
Oh, I watched a movie with Jamie Lee Curtis in it today. She was in The Fog.
Did I see that? Was that the Night Shyamalan?
No, that's...
The Mist.
No, that's not it either. What are you talking about?
What's the one that M. Night Shyamalan? Oh, The Happening? Yeah.
No, The Fog is an old John Carpenter movie. It's pretty good.
Is it as good as Escape from New York?
No,
because is anything? Not really.
There are two John Carpenter films that are better than Escape from New York.
I would really like to
see...
They
are Halloween and The Thing.
I was going to say
The Thing is one of the greatest movies ever. I would really like to see a musical version of The Happening, but done as a hip-hop musical. We could call it The Hip-Hop Happening.
I think it should be called What's the Haps.
What's the Haps?
I like how you didn't get through your own joke without chuckling at the end.
You're coming to kill me.
The Hip-Hop Happening.
No. What? No, what? I'm not. I won't kill you.
Is this hip hop?
No.
What?
I'm in a musical.
Yeah! Featuring Little John.
Yeah. Say what? Hell yeah! So, this is going to be an interesting week. There's no real news. There is a news ramble list, but it's probably not even funny, so we're not going
to
do it.
I have something that I would like to talk about with Ryan.
We make the news funny.
You just exclude me.
There also is some news quickly. I'll talk about it later. We'll talk about this now.
So the first book I want to talk about is
was the
Batman
most pointless issue of
number
all time.
28.
The one that is not, it's just like a
so
pre-
it's not it's, a Batman issue at all.
It's just like, this is what Batman Eternal is going to be about.
The prequel of Batman Eternal.
It's Batman Eternal number one.
Yeah.
Point one. Get the
point. I didn't know that it was that because the solicit that I saw was the cover that had a question mark on it and the Riddler was in the background. I think they may have hid this just from everybody and not
told. They just
told.
Said it was going to be a break month. They didn't say.
They said it was going to be a break month.
They didn't say what it was going to be. They did say it was going to be like a skip month for.
I see.
But they didn't say that it was going to be completely unrelated to Batman.
Well, no. It was related to Batman and.
I mean to the story in the book.
Oh, okay, yeah. It's definitely unrelated to Zero Year. I wasn't let down by... I mean, it was disappointing to have a skip month to begin with.
And yet another really shitty cover.
Yeah, terrible. One of the worst... Actually, this is the worst Batman
it's
cover.
A keyhole, I knew you were going to say that something
oh,
about the cover.
So bad.
Very bad cover.
You know what?
Which is weird because it's a Dustin Nguyen cover. But it's just
boring.
Dumb looking.
It's a really nice cover of something that's fucking boring.
Yeah,
it's well-produced, boring shit.
Yeah.
But the interiors are beautiful. The interiors by Dustin Nguyen are spectacular. Story-wise, it introduces Bluebird, so basically the new Robin, and it's Harper Row. It's a little bit of a lackluster introduction to Harper Row being the replacement for Damian. It was all kind of rumblings about it, and everyone kind of knew it was coming, and then the way that she's introduced, she's just there, and she's Bluebird, and it's awesome.
Her name is Bluebird?
I can't wait
for people to be like,
is it
oh, I'm so
Robin?
Glad.
Yeah, a lot.
How?
Blue balls.
I can't wait for people to be like, I'm so glad she isn't Robin. It's like, no, she's Robin.
She is Robin. She's
just
called
her Bluebird.
She's
however,
the action that goes on between Batman and Bluebird as they're beating everybody up in this Aztec place is really cool. There's some really excellent full pages, especially of Harper with like a giant gun, which is kind of funny because Batman never uses guns, but Harper Row does.
I thought Batman hates guns. I do. She doesn't. That was a line from the book.
It was good. That was good. Oh, yeah, I do.
Isn't that also a line from Dark Knight Rises? Or pretty similar to it?
I don't, there was
a whole thing with, like, remember with... Well, maybe it's like a reverse where Catwoman says something along those lines about how she won't use guns, but I will or something.
I think that's actually what you're referencing, Ryan. I don't think they said that in this
No,
book.
It was back, like, this way. This
oh,
way.
Really? Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. It's, like, right there on the page.
We are the
page,
good
next
guys.
Page. Next page. I do. She doesn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good point. It was written really well. I actually did enjoy it for what it was. I was annoyed that it was a $4.90, that it was a $4 book when it didn't really deserve to be. But
it had a preview for a book I don't read.
You know, it intrigued me for... Well, you can't read it yet. It's not even out yet.
Yeah.
You crazy bastard. I'm actually intrigued about Batman Eternal. I thought that this was a fun story.
I might get it.
It was disappointing. I'll probably get... the only reason why it was disappointing is because it interrupted Batman for a month.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still a Scott Snyder story. I mean, it's beautiful Dustin Nguyen interiors. I really like them. And also, the very end introduces Stephanie Brown, which is awesome. So, Stephanie Brown is spoiler. You got Harper Row as Bluebird. Catwoman is like this kingpin now, which is pretty sweet. And I love the way that Dustin Nguyen draws Batman. So, I mean, it's a good comic book. I just am disappointed that it was a Batman skip month. Oh, well, whatever.
Here's my thing.
I don't regret spending money and buying it. It was definitely an enjoyable 3 minutes of my time.
Here's my thing. DC Comics owes me $3.99 because this wasn't fucking Batman 28. This is Batman Eternal number one, which I'm not going to buy.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
I mean, you're right.
Now, by rights, I could have just not bought it.
You could have also read the cover.
Well, yeah. It's in my poll, so I feel bad if I don't buy something that's in my poll. But
no, I agree. It would have driven me crazy to not have an issue if I had the whole run.
Oh, it drove me nuts. And like I said, it's not a bad comic at all. In fact, I actually found it pretty neat. But I'm not buying Batman Eternal. Eternal is the one that's going to be weekly, right?
Yeah
fuck
too much.
Fuck that. No thanks.
I may be picking it up. But
the first two weekly comics DC did made sense to be weekly. That was part of the whole point of the story. This one just seems kind of like it seems the same way that the third one did. That Batman, what was that one called? The third one that was Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, the Mark Bagley one. It was called Trinity or something.
Oh, it was Kurt Busiek?
Yeah, but it felt like, why is this a weekly comic?
Trinity? Oh, no, the first run of Trinity with Mark Bagley was Kurt Busiek.
I'm talking about the third weekly comic series that came after Countdown, and it was, I'm pretty sure Mark Bagley drew it.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Wasn't it a tie-in to Justice League?
No.
No? Well, then I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what... I know what the thinking is. If we put Batman on a book every week, then it will easily sell and make money.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't feel like a weekly comic is really that great of an idea because everybody's gonna be.
52
out.
Is one of the best series I've ever read. It was excellent. I mean,
but it made sense, right?
Yeah, it made a point for the whole continuity that was tying together everything after
Infinite
Crisis.
It was the missing year. It made sense.
Yeah, to 1 year later. So it was a really cool universe story, whereas Batman Eternal is just fleshing out.
I knew it wasn't crazy. It was called Trinity.
Oh, okay, cool.
Batman Eternal is just another Batman book. But this one comes out every week.
So it is kind of a silly idea. I'm more excited for... I don't even remember what they're... It is Busiek.
Yeah, I knew I wasn't crazy.
Well, then never mind. Then we were talking about the exact same thing.
Yeah, it was a 52-issue weekly series.
Was it actually any good?
I didn't read it.
Oh. I'm
sure it was fine. I'm sure it was good because it's got good people working on it. But
I don't know. It was good. It was good, but I'm still pissed.
Yeah, I got it.
But if I didn't buy it, the completionist in me would be like, fuck, I don't have issue 28, even though it's not 28.
Yeah.
Oh,
well.
Marvel Point One. Get the point.
Let's talk about a book that we both really, really, really loved.
Yeah, this is a book that I really, really love.
I'll tell you what I love.
Please don't reference the Mark, Tom, and Travis show on our podcast again.
Goblin Nation number one by Dan Slott and Giuseppe Camuncoli, the Superior Spider-Man number 027. Point now, then, all new, now, when, why, now,
point
tomorrow.
Comics. Point now. Get the now. Point.
Isn't this funny? All new Marvel now! First page, 31 days later.
What is... all new Marvel now.
What's going to be the next moniker?
The all new all new Marvel.
All next.
Nower!
All new Marvel now
Nower.
Next.
The even Nower.
All newest Marvel nowest.
Live now next. Or Marvel now.
So then. Now, it's 1 second into the future.
I'm
I knew
good
you were going
to
say
to
that.
Now Marvel. Give me Marvel now, or give me liberty, or give me death.
I hope they fire
or
their
give
marketing
me a sandwich.
People.
All new
I would love it to literally be called "Give me Marvel, or give me liberty, or give me death." Just added "Give me Marvel" out of the front.
That kind of feels like a game we would play.
Make mine Marvel, or give me liberty, or give me death.
So this is the beginning of the end for the Superior Spider-Man. I'm very sad to see this title go. However, it's not like it's going to be. I mean, yeah. The Amazing Spider-Man is just going to be the continuation of this whole of Slott's saga, which has been phenomenal.
I mean, really, it's just the end of a, you know, 30-issue arc, more or less.
Yeah, right? a really amazing 30-issue arc. Good. I really enjoyed it. I love Giuseppe Camuncoli's pencils in this book, particularly. Yeah. John Dell's, that's his name, right? The colorist?
Yeah.
Or is he the inker? He's the inker. The colorist did a spectacular job. Antonio Fabela.
Oh, you mean on the credits page that you can't fucking read?
Oh, yeah. But throughout it, it's all a series of, like, dark greens and crazy almost puke greens. Like, it's very cool.
Especially in, like, the Mindscapes and Memories.
The Mindscape sequence where Peter Parker jumps into a memory of Dr. Octopus. It's so Inception.
Yeah.
But it was very, very cool. And the way...
And also that fight scene in, like, the spinning hallway. In this book?
Yep, that was pretty good. Anti-gravity hallway fight, always good. I do love Humberto Ramos's Green Goblin, probably the most out of anyone. However, Giuseppe Camuncoli's Green Goblin is pretty awesome looking.
I prefer Ramos and everybody.
Because he draws Goblin better than anybody ever.
Oh, he draws such a good Goblin, yeah.
But, I mean, everything is picking up. There's crazy Hobgoblin war on Spider Island. Superior Spider-Man is so much fun. And this issue was such a blast to read. I'm so curious to see what's going to happen with his girlfriend. Because once Anna Peter Maria. Parker takes over that body again...
The
wee little lass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious. Because I really like that character.
Because Peter Parker's going to be like, who dis like, bitch?
Yo,
that's
who
next
you
week. Who dis bitch?
Who dis bitch? Who dis bitch?
Not the greatest.
But like, it's like hoobastank. It's like one word. Who dis dish?
Our game next week will be the greatest band alive.
Hoobastank?
Are they still alive?
Sure. No, they died in a plane crash. Yeah.
Hoobastank didn't stink.
I found some news. There's a few things.
Found some nudes.
Yeah.
Some of them are casting reports. Yeah. Some of them are TV things. One of them is an announcement of a new Greg Rucka ongoing series at Marvel.
Ooh.
He's writing a Cyclops ongoing series. First time Cyclops has ever had an ongoing series ever. It's going to be the ongoing solo series starring the young Cyclops from the past. And apparently it's going to be about young Cyclops going into space to look for Corsair, his pops.
Huh.
Now, didn't Greg Rucka say he wouldn't write for Marvel after Punisher?
No.
Oh.
He didn't say that.
Oh.
But yeah, so apparently, like, Rucka also promises the book will be fun because, as he puts it, Scott needs to have a little fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a shot. Actually, it sounds kind
of
fun.
The only reason I'll give it a shot Rucka? Is because of Rucka. I'm not a huge X-Men guy, and I don't really care about Cyclops. But the fact that Rucka's writing it means I'll enjoy it. So,
if it was like sold. If it was like he's going into space to fight, I don't know, like Jesus, I'd be into it. But
is that where Jesus has been this whole time? People go to like these buildings every Sunday to try and find him. He was just in space.
He ascended to heaven. Clearly, heaven
is that
is
where
in
all
space.
The money in the like the church tip jars, baskets or whatever.
The church tip jar.
Does it go towards
when they hand it to you? It says 15%, or you're a dick.
It goes towards the ongoing legal cost of priests who have fucked children
in space.
Yes, because in space there is no laws, and no one can hear you scream.
On it, I bet you, if the Catholic Church sold like 1% of their artifacts and artworks and stuff like that, they could probably afford
they
to well, run the world.
Is there an organization called NAMBLIS?
NAMBLA?
North American Manboy Love in Space.
Yeah, it's called NAMBLIS.
Oh, there it is.
But it's only in space.
As the president of said association.
Okay, this bit has run its course. Did you guys... They've been reissuing Dragon Ball Z in full color now. I've already bought Dragon Ball Z about 3 times, but I think I'm going to buy it again because I really like Dragon Ball Z and the color looks really good.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
I like that.
First time it's ever been released totally in color. That's pretty
guys,
cool.
Guys, what was your favorite Budokai Tenkaichi game? Mine was 3.
I only ever played the one for PlayStation 2.
Really? You didn't play the one for Wii that we used to have at the one house?
Oh, well, I guess I played that with you.
That was
the now one.
That was 3, and it was sweet, because to Kamehameha, you Kamehameha'd with your hands.
I know!
Yeah, I don't have a favorite. I mean, I think I had 1 and 2 for the PS1. They were pretty good, though.
I remember that 2 was more expensive than 3 for some reason, from, like, EB Games. That was bullshit.
Oh yeah, that was. Then you burnt that building to the ground, didn't you?
Yeah.
I thought that you were overreacting, but I mean, love your tank cheeky shy.
Budokai Tenkaichi.
Tenkaichi Ninjutsu. Right? Is that how you say it?
My Kunichiwa.
Holy moly.
Batman, yeah. Dragon, Tikachu-chu.
Train.
I kind of like that. Batman, Dragon, Tikachu-chu.
I would play that game.
Lappity-boo-bow.
I would play that game.
Right?
Yeah. Do you guys know that BJ Novak is in Spider-Man 2? He's playing Alistair Smythe.
I did know that.
The Spider Slayer.
That's cool. BJ Novak.
I mean, it worries me a little because, like, what every time a movie puts, like, 13 villains in it, this one's getting a little crowded, but I think it'll be fun.
I thought this was at, like, 17 already.
Oh, it is. But, I mean, I think they're setting up the Sinister Six.
They think it'll just be, like, in the background, probably?
No, I don't, actually. They've been kind of hinting that he's doing a lot of stuff, the Spider Slayer.
They've announced that, like, they are spinning into a Venom movie and then a Sinister Six movie. Which is fucking
Venom?
Mind-blowing, yeah. Guys. Guys, we live in a world where there's going to be a Sinister Six movie.
I'm excited.
That's going to be cool.
I'm very excited.
Fucking neato.
I like that stuff.
I got no problemo with that plan.
Can I give you guys some more news?
Radical, please.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to find something. Okay, so you guys know about that Gotham TV series, right?
Yes, he was cast as Jim Gordon.
Yeah, the guy from Southland, is that his name?
Ryan Atwood from the OC, Ben McKenzie.
Okay, but wasn't he also on
Southland? Which I've heard is really good.
Yeah, it was good, yeah. So he's playing... Why do you mean Boo? Why?
No, it's Ryan
young
Atwood.
It's young James Gordon. It takes place in the past.
They also cast the young Penguin, casting. And it's strange. There's a guy from The Walking Dead, but...
But they've also cast... one of my favorite characters, Harvey Bullock, and Donald Logue is playing him.
he was in Sons of Anarchy last season, and the season four. And
he's got a beard and a cigar in this picture. Mm-hmm. I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. I just can't remember what. But
he was
like,
in that sitcom a long time ago, and he's in The Patriot.
But like seriously, Harvey Bullock is one of my favorite characters, and I wish that he was just like the main character of all Batman books now instead. But
I wish Harvey Whippleman was.
Harvey Whippleman.
There's a pull.
I wish Harvey the Hound was Harvey Bullock. That'd be great.
And his archvillain is Craig McTavish. And to defeat Harvey the Hound, you pull his tongue.
Yep.
Okay, so Rob wasn't excited about that news. How about this one? Brian Wood's DMZ is in pilot development at Sci-Fi.
I heard
that'll
that
be cool.
One.
That'll be a decent series, I think.
Okay. I need to read. That.
I'll watch the Gotham show. Well, no, I might not.
I will.
Last time there
I'll
was a DC
try.
Show, it was Arrow and it was dog shit.
He just got renewed for a third season.
But I'm excited about DMZ. That should be pretty great.
And
that was a very good story.
The last thing isn't even news. It's just Francesco Francavilla has been putting Winter Olympics posters up, but they're like the Fantastic Four as Olympians.
That
so there's like Punisher's a biathlon, the Fantastic Four and the bobsled. Wolverine playing hockey, Silver Surfer doing like a snowboarding thing off of Galactus's head, and one of the other best ones is the Black Racer doing the ski jump.
Oh, is that what that is? That's cool.
It's pretty sweet.
Yay!
Would you say he stuck the landing? Olympic sports.
Good job.
Speaking of Olympic sports, while you guys talk about comics, I'm going to look up how the curling
is
going.
Good, man.
The curling, they won... Canada won their last game.
I'm not talking about the men. I'm talking about the women. I only care about the women.
Oh.
The women's are kicking ass. They're 5-0.
There was...
5-0!
I'm trying to remember what country...
Men's, I think, were 3-2.
I'm trying to remember what country it was, but their curling team, their women's curling team, was out of this world, guys.
Out of this world.
I would propose to all of them right now.
What would be your proposal?
Which team was this?
Will you pity section?
Which team was this?
I can't remember what country it was.
Sweden, right?
I was going to say, I feel like it should be Sweden, because I think they were all blonde. It was a Nordic country.
They were all blonde.
Wow, that was an interesting...
There was also, because we didn't do this last week, also the Vision and Miss Marvel are going to be in Avengers 2, and Paul Bettany's playing the Vision, which is like the best casting of all time.
I don't know who that is.
Paul Bettany? He's the voice of Jarvis in the Iron Man movies, and then what was he in? He was in The Da Vinci Code. He was like the weird albino monk.
I know that guy.
He was in that tennis movie a long time ago with like
Kirsten Dunst.
That is actually good casting.
It's great casting.
Yeah, he's very good.
And there was something else too. We didn't get to talk about The Preacher.
He was in A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, yeah. Preacher is going to be a television series.
On AMC.
That's
going to be cool. That should be fantastic.
That's the network to go to if you want to do a comic book series.
Yeah, clearly.
It's a weird pick.
No, because they'll let them
Preacher
do what they
want.
Preacher
is a weird pick, or are you...
To do as a TV series?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a very weird pick.
It's a very weird pick. I agree with you. Why the Last Man would make a little bit more sense as a TV series, but...
I have faith in Seth Rogen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Goldberg Preacher will be awesome.
And AMC as well. I think AMC will give them the lenience to do what they want.
Because they... I mean, you can show really gratuitous violence. They just won't be able to say fuck or show a boob. Which is only two-thirds of Preacher.
So basically what you're saying is I have no reason to watch this.
You can really only... Yeah. So you'll get about a third of Preacher. It'll be great.
You'll get
I'm curious to see who they cast as Jesse Custer. That'll actually be a lot of fun. I'm curious to see how they handle Arseface.
Which third do you get? The pre, the ach, or the her?
All.
That's...
What?
Well, I don't know. That'd be cool.
I read a very interesting new series this week. Did you pick this up?
No.
This is a book by Anthony Johnston and Justin Greenwood called The Fuse. So it's the creative team behind Wasteland, or at least Justin Greenwood did...
Is it a teenage Wasteland?
Teenage Wasteland. Yeah, Justin Greenwood...
That was really bad. That wasn't even close to the melody.
Guys, we're all wasted.
Right. So, Justin... All right.
Anthony Johnston?
Anthony Johnston. And Justin Greenwood. And Justin Greenwood worked on Wasteland for the last volume? Or the
and isn't he the guitar player for Radiohead?
Johnny Greenwood? Johnny Greenwood is, and...
They have guitars in that band?
Yup.
I just thought they were, like, making noise with things.
Well, that's kind of what bands ever have done with instruments.
Yeah, but I fucking hate Radiohead so
really?
Much.
Really? Why? I like Radiohead.
Oh, I hate them.
They're pretty good.
Fantastic. I hate Radiohead. Radio. That was bad. That was bad.
Tell us about the book, Robbie G. Yeah.
It's good. Okay. So, it is a floating space station that is in orbit around Earth about 36,000 kilometers above the low Earth orbit. And it seems like a lot of the Russian or German population has moved out onto this really cool space station. So humanity has expanded and a lot of its population has now moved out into deep space. They haven't really explained what the shift was or ultimately what year it is or anything like that, but it's a very, very interesting introduction to a series because it's a fully functioning world and environment and really well realized world that just it throws you right into it in the middle of it already being in motion for years. So there are characters within this that have lived up on the fuse for years, and you kind of get to see it through the eyes of a brand new detective who gets transferred from Earth up to the fuse and makes partners with this sort of disgruntled kind of elderly woman who's been the only detective on the entire platform for years. There's something like, I don't remember, the population is low, but ultimately enormous in comparison to one detective. They've had very low crime rates and everything, but there's a murder that takes place on the fuse, and basically it's a detective story in space with a very disgruntled old detective who's now trying to show the ropes to this young go-getter. It's excellently illustrated. I really enjoyed that. And I think story-wise, or at least environment-wise, it's enthralling. Like, it's really, really captivating with the way that it's actually set up its whole world that it surrounds. I would definitely recommend it. It's an ongoing, I think. As I understand it, it's an ongoing. And I understand that it'll just be, I guess, like episodic and kind of the ongoing cases of these two detectives in life on the fuse.
So it's a detective procedural in space.
That's exactly what it is.
That's cool.
It's amazing. It's really, really, it's an excellent book. Anthony Johnston does a really great write-up in the back about trying to mash up those two genres because he really wanted to do a police procedural, but also wanted to do a sci-fi comic. So just mash them up together, and then in doing that, he's now just kind of encompassed two different audiences in hopes to try and garner more attention for a book like this. And Image is definitely the place to try out new things like this. Anthony Johnston is doing excellent work at Image right now too. Issue 3 of Umbral, I think, came out like a couple weeks ago, and we didn't really talk about it, but it's also spectacular with Christopher Mitten on illustrations.
Isn't that the magic book?
Very magical. Very Sorry, magical.
Magic.
It's another, like, his style of writing is really, he's an excellent world builder, but he's a different world builder than, say, Jonathan Hickman is, where when Jonathan Hickman has built up a world, most of his storytelling is just is more work in developing that world.
Yeah.
Anthony Johnston's approach for both the Fuse and Umbral so far, I mean, I've literally read 4 comic books that he's written. I haven't read any of Wasteland, but I'm assuming it's similar.
Wasteland is very good.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's, you can tell me if it's similar or not, that the world is 100% already fleshed out, colored in, everything, and then you just have characters thrown at it, go. And mm-hmm. it's a really interesting Pretty way to start off a book. I love his writing style so far. He's very, he's got very interesting British sensibilities too. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the dialogue and language is a lot more fun.
I hate the name Anthony.
Oh God! The last time you didn't like a name.
No, I know.
We all almost died.
No, and I'm not going to talk about why it makes his book stupid, because it doesn't. It sounds actually really interesting, and I'm sure he's a smart guy.
If you said it with British accent, I just said Anthony.
I hate the name Anthony. Just name your kid Anthony.
I saw a picture on Reddit today of a P that looked like Mr. T.
That's actually amazing.
Well, it's right here.
Of like, a wee? Like a
green? No, like a P. Like a green P with mold on it. Or maybe that's freezer burn.
Ooh.
But still, it's Mr. T.
Will that P ever main event WrestleMania 1? No, because that already and happened 30 years ago. 29 years ago. And yeah, and Red. That was a main event, though.
Yeah, it wasn't very good either.
Was that the boxing match with
Rowdy Roddy Piper? Yeah. It was like, why are we doing this?
Can you imagine if they did that now with like a guy of Rowdy Roddy Piper's capabilities? If they were like, oh, we'll put him in a boxing match with like Lil Jon.
Don't you remember when they had Floyd Mayweather box the Big Show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it was the Big Show, so it was like, well, what else is he going to do?
Like, wow, that was such a weird match. That was another weird match.
I liked it though. I thought it was entertaining. I think Floyd Mayweather.
The problem
was
that they booked Floyd Mayweather as like a straight face, but he was so thoroughly unlikable in the build because he was such a dick cheese.
So they kind of
that everyone was kind of like, we all like show.
Oh yeah, Floyd Mayweather's like just the worst, but I think he's hilarious. Also, you just talked about a new number one issue. I'm going to talk about one quickly before we do that. It's a number one, I think, of 5. From Marvel Comics, Winter Soldier, The Bitter March by Rick Remender and holy shit, Roland Bashi, I'm assuming. It's a period piece set in 1966 that kind of follows Nick Fury and I want to say his name's Ren Shen, which if you read the last arc of Cap, you'll know who he is. They're S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and they try to infiltrate Castle Hydra. Well, they do because they're good. S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, and they're trying to extract 2 Nazi scientists who've perfected the alchemy formula so they can make anything they want, basically. And then stuff goes awry, and things happen, and it's there's action.
I don't know what just happened.
And it's cool, and then at the end-ish, like for the last like third of the book, the Winter Soldier makes an appearance and just kicks ass, and it's fucking cool. It's so cool. And then, that's pretty much it. And leaves on a bit of a cliffhanger. Well, not really. It's just, oh shit, the Winter Soldier's after me.
The Winter Soldier coming your way.
This is a really fun book, but Roland Bashi's art makes it worth it. Like, it's very cool. Mentally sharp is out the window, guys.
His artwork looks like... Who does he remind me of? Shit, I don't remember. Never mind. Actually, Dustin Nguyen, kind of.
Yeah, but a little more cartoony. Like, it kind of reminds me of who's Annie Wu? Is that who does the Hawkeye, the Kate Bishop book?
Yeah, that's
who
it I can see me that.
A little more
the
of
color
a,
work is kind
of
similar.
Yeah, it's a little more of a.
It's really
it's like a rougher Annie Wu.
It's a very cool looking book.
Yeah, it's awesome, dig it. And the action scenes are rad.
I dig that.
Rad. There's like an entire, not really parachuting scene, but like flying scene.
Like flying squirrels.
Yep. Flying squirrels, but Winter Soldier's a bird. And it's cool. Like, it's a really, really cool book. And it, with some really awesome covers as well. The cover for issue 2 looks awesome.
Who did the cover for issue 2?
Andrew Robinson.
Robinson.
Yes, the same as issue 1. I like the cover of issue 1. The cover of issue 2 looks way better, but...
I like the cover of issue 2 quite a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It looks more like a Dave Johnson cover.
It feels a little Francesco-y other than the fact that it's not red.
Francesco. Yeah. I can see the font for Soldier in the middle, like in smoke going across the middle of the page looks very much like Francesco.
Yeah. The layout of it kind of reminds me of Francesco. But yes, cool. Number one issue.
About number one. All right. Well, I think that's a good time to introduce the newest segment to our program. And that's a little game I like to call Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, Manfred Mann.
Okay.
All right.
Manfred
Mann. So basically, I'm going to give you a clue, and you have to tell me if it's related to Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, or Manfred Mann. All right? Do you understand the rules? You'll be awarded points for getting things correct.
Getting correct. Okay.
Right?
That's an interesting way to do it.
I figured I would shake up the whole game paradigm.
Yeah, totally.
I am so lost.
Really?
Mentally Sharp's gone, guys.
I'll start again. So, you get it? All right. So, first question will go to Mr.
Coin flip.
Mr. Coin Flip.
Call in the air.
Oh, hi there.
Yellow.
Wow. Are you me?
Heads or tails?
I panicked. It's heads. It's heads.
Tails.
All right, Mr.
That means
Ryan.
I go first, right?
I had to think of that because it's like a weird.
What if we agree on
yellow?
Okay, Ryan. With great power comes great responsibility.
Spider-Man.
That's 1 point to Ryan Heth. Off to an excellent.
It's me. Thank you.
Excellent start.
Mm-hmm. All right. Come
Very
on.
Well
Thank
done.
You. Thank you.
So good.
All right. Calm
so
down.
So.
Thank you.
What the
exemplary.
Fuck?
I can feel my.
I am astounded.
Growing. I can feel just self-confidence.
All right.
Radiating.
Okay, well, come on now.
Yeah, sorry.
Being full of yourself. Don't make me take that point back. Sorry. Joey.
Hmm.
With great power chords come great rockability.
Well, it's gotta be Manfred Mann.
That's Manfred Mann!
Yeah.
Yes. That's 1 point to you, Joey. That's a...
Good job, Joey.
That's a good catchphrase.
Thanks.
Excellent effort.
That's good. Okay.
You better be careful, Ryan. You might get blinded by the light.
That reminds me of my next question.
Okay.
Or my next clue. My next clue is... Blinded by the light. That's my next clue.
Wrapped up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
All right. So I was reminded of this next clue because earlier Joey said the words blinded by the night.
Blinded by the light. Blinded by the night? It's blinded by the light.
Well, no, see,
I am the quizmaster.
Batman.
I think I know.
Yeah, well,
going.
I know fucking Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
So do I. I was studying this all day, Joey.
Batman threw a flashbang and it blinded somebody, therefore blinded by the
light.
Bracket
a
in parentheses, dark night.
Blind! Okay.
The dark night
so,
light.
Earlier, when Joey said blinded by the night, what he meant to say was blinded by the light.
Okay.
And it reminded me of your clue, which is blinded by the light. That's your clue.
I am going to say Manfred Mann.
No, unfortunately, it's actually Peter Parker on the cover of the Spectacular Spider-Man number 27, where he teams up with Daredevil and is blinded by some light for reals. You can Google that shit. It exists.
I've read that issue.
It's pretty cool.
I actually feel like that wrong answer was justified. Like for once, it's like I didn't get it wrong because of trickery and
because
witchcraft. Remind me, I have a good story about
it was a
later.
Bit of a trick question. Trick question. Okay, so this question is kind of a three-part question. It'll go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, but only three times. So minus a few of the times that I said. Minus a few of the fourths and the backs.
Pudding pops.
All right. So starting with Joey.
Okay.
Secret Invasion. Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, Manfred Mann.
Spider-Man
is correct. That's a point to Joey. 2-1 for Joey. Very well. Ryan.
You're running away with this like the American hockey team did against Slovakia.
They would have skated away.
Oh,
yeah, Rob makes an excellent point.
No, it's right. International hockey. They play with shoes.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So, okay, Joey's was Secret Invasion. He got it. Spider-Man. Ryan, yours is British Invasion.
The British Invasion?
I'm going to say Wonder Woman.
Ryan.
Manfred
Mann. It's part of the British invasion.
Do you blame me after the last one? I mean,
I'm sorry. Anyway, going back now to Joey.
Okay.
Secret British invasion.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yay! Right. Very good job. It was she invaded Britain in her invisible
in
jet.
Secret.
In her invisible jet. All right, in secret. No one knew that. Okay. Ryan.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. What has eight legs? Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, or Manfred Mann?
Don't forget the full name. Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
Earth Band. Well, he also was solo.
Really? I don't think that's true. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was just with Manfred Mann's Earth Band. Nice. Did you look it up?
Yeah. Dude, you get a point taken away.
No, I'm not questioning you. I'm asking because I want to learn.
All right.
My answer.
No, you're right, too.
Eight legs. What has eight legs? Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, Manfred Mann.
Spider-Man.
I'm sorry. It's Manfred Mann when the guitarist Mick Rogers sits out. Because then there's only four of them.
You did look this up. Mick Rogers.
But what about, remember when Spider-Man had like six?
Wait a minute, his name is Mick Vickers.
Oh.
Not Mick Rogers.
Rob loses a point. Rob loses a point.
I'm pretty sure it's Mick Vickers.
I'm pretty sure it's Mick Rogers.
I'm pretty sure it's Mick Vickers.
Go up!
Okay, no, Mick Rogers play. Okay, yeah. Hang on. There's been, okay, let me explain. I can explain this. He did have a guitar player named Mick Vickers. That's my explanation. He did. From 62 to 65, before they launched the Earth Band in the 70s, so... You can see why I was confused.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I've only got two more questions left.
Okay.
Which is an odd number. No, wait, two.
Well, there's two of us, so that kind of works.
Whatever. Okay. Joey.
Yeah.
Amazon's attack.
Well, Wonder Woman.
I'm sorry. It's Manfred Mann after a dispute with Amazon's website when they refused to carry any more Faces of the Man record. Manfred Mann tried to bomb their warehouse. So Amazon attacked his house.
And they were blinded by
they
the
were
light.
All blinded by the light.
Which is actually a cover of a Bruce Springsteen song.
Blinded by
that.
The light.
I knew that.
All right.
Ring up like a deuce.
This is the last question, Ryan. Yes. This can tie you up.
Ryan likes being tied up on Valentine's
Day. Doo-wah, diddy-diddy, sha-la-la, pretty flamingo. Doo-wah, diddy-diddy, sha-la-la, pretty flamingo.
Manfred Mann.
I'm sorry, it's Spider-Man naming his favorite Manfred Mann tunes, then noticing flamingo.
Man, I just I was close. I was worried because this would have been the first time I didn't win, and so I've continued my streak. But it was a close one. My butt was puckered.
Oh wait, there's one more question.
Shit. That's my question.
Yes, that was shit.
So if I don't, that it doesn't matter. Even if I get this wrong, I still win.
Well, then Ryan's going to get the question.
Oh,
Ryan,
what the fuck?
I love a well-placed part.
That doesn't make any sense.
Makes perfect sense.
That was fantastic,
Ryan,
sir.
Ryan, the final clue. Oh, this could, this could.
Oh boy,
tie you up. Bread. Just wait.
Bread. Okay, so far.
All right. Bread. Liberation. The clue is bread. Liberation.
Bread. Liberation.
Yes. Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, Manfred Mann.
Wonder Woman.
You are correct!
What the fuck?
Wonder Why Bread and Woman's Liberation.
I thought about that. By
so that means we're tied.
You're tied.
Oh my
so
God.
What's the tiebreaker?
All right, new question.
For Joey this time.
Okay.
Cheese.
New question. Yeah. Come on. Who's proud of my Wonder Bread Woman's Liberation?
No, you know what?
That was pretty good.
A 1-3. It was good, but he
It
guessed.
Wasn't good. It was pretty bad.
No, bad. I knew, because I knew Wonder Bread. I didn't think
okay,
of
okay.
Liberation.
Okay, so there's going to be one more question for Joey, and Joey can win with this one.
All right.
This is going to be a really difficult one, though. Right. The Earth Band.
Manfred Mann?
Oh, you got it right! Oh, good
yes.
job!
In fairness,
he's so good!
Before,
you can't deny a winner. He's a champion.
Oh,
you cannot deny a
before
champion.
Before you embarrass me, I was about to concede victory because of the flatulence earlier. So,
I would like to thank the following people. Chester Yakimura. Moses, Jeff, Healy. And the entire staff at Knick Knack Fanny Pack.
And
I'm
also
just going to do Bob Duca bits for the rest of the podcast,
Vickers
okay?
Hyphen Rogers.
Well, that's everything, unless we want to talk about our favorites, guys. That was a good game.
Do we have a new Zarama?
I didn't. No, really, we don't. I looked at the list and it's not funny. It was like the top 10 DC Comics female supervillains. I'm like, I have no strong feelings about this issue. And I looked at the list and I'm like, yeah, these are all good supervillains, I guess. I got no problem with that.
I couldn't name a DC female supervillain.
Really? Try. Come on. There's lots of.
Like Catwoman, I guess?
Well, she could count.
Granny Goodness.
Cheetah.
Cheetah.
Star Sapphire.
Yeah, no clue. I don't know who Star Sapphire is. I know who... Yeah.
Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
You fucking suck.
The Penguin.
The Penguin after... The Post-Op Penguin.
Post-Op Penguin. Penguin.
Which is my favorite Penguin story.
Yep. Do you want to do Rapid Fire?
Well, I read two books that we didn't talk about extensively, but that's because I talk about how perfect they are every month, at least once. So Astro City 9 by Kurt Busiek and Brent Anderson, number 3 of The Winged Victory arc that's been going on. It's spectacular. And Fatale number 20, the first of a brand new arc by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. This is the last
final
arc. This was one of my favorite covers, actually, of the whole
series. It's a good cover. Boy, I really didn't contribute fucking anything to this.
It's a good cover. And a very good issue.
It was the best part, I thought, was Josephine stealing the car that the cultist had left his child in, mm-hmm. his young boy, and his young boy becomes enamored by her and like keeps calling her a pretty lady and is crawling all over. That part was actually pretty freaky. That creeped me out.
Also, it looks like the kid is trying to grab her titty.
Yeah.
I saw
Emma? Did you see that on NXT?
No.
There's this thing.
But
with
I love
doing
her
dance,
theme song is like the greatest
and they,
thing ever.
Someone took this perfect picture, and it's just this kid while she's doing the dance reaching around grabbing her titty.
Really? See, I saw one of like little kid doing that to Natalia.
That's funny too.
Is this wrestling again?
Yeah.
No.
Seriously, Emma's song, Emma's like theme song, is amazing. The like weird like boop, 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 boop. And her dance is ridiculous. I think she's really cute. And Australian. Good day. It is a good day.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Hey, you know that joke? I'm afraid I've got some bad. Can I have some decorum, please? I love his voice. I read two other books. Deadpool issue 23 with a really cool alien cover.
Yeah, I loved that cover.
That is a really cool
cover.
Is that
Tim Bradstreet? You know, who did that?
It is Mark Brooks.
Wasn't even close.
Mark Brooks, Alberta.
Are we doing favorites right now?
No, I'm just talking about
something. Okay, good. I'm like, I didn't do a song or anything, right? It's like the one thing I usually contribute to this podcast.
It was another cool issue. Kind of the ending of Deadpool versus S.H.I.E.L.D., but not really, because there's still some loose strings to tie up. But it was another really good issue. This book is really funny. While also having some cool, sad stuff. So not cool, really just sad.
Sounds sad.
And then also Star Wars issue 14, which is part 2 of 5 Days of Sith, which is about this pilot basically flying Darth Vader around on secret missions and shit, and Darth Vader kills an elite squad of stormtroopers and stuff, and things happen.
Who's illustrating this book now?
This arc is Facundo Percio.
What happened to Carlos De Anda? Did he
leave
after the first
arc? No, just take a break, because he was on the last.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think, who was it? Ryan Brown was in between?
Yeah, now he's on 3.
Yeah. It's, I think they just, because.
No, not Ryan Brown. We're thinking of.
It's a guy who's done a Hickman book.
Fuck.
Ryan something.
Ryan Kelly.
Ryan Kelly, there you go. I'm not sure about the next few. I think Carlos De Anda's back, which is cool.
But he's really talented.
This book looks really good. So, yeah. Other than some panels are kind of rushed.
In instances like the panel that Ryan just pointed at, it's like a very small panel. And also, like, the pencils I don't think are necessarily rushed if you saw the pencils. I think what would kind of overtake it is the coloring palette and the inks. Is that it kind of it overcompensates for light pencils, and also because it's so small, it looks a little smudged.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even say that it was necessarily rushed so much as it's like trying to color a very tiny face under a hood in a panel that's hardly an inch tall. Know what I mean? Unless you're George Perez.
Yes, that's it.
Living on the gladdest stage. Think and feel something, some reality.
Get up on this shit!
I keep getting like a blast of breath. Beer breath.
Reading all my favorites, the universal dream. For those who wish to see, the must put aside the alienation.
Get up with the fascination.
The real relation, the underlying theme. My favorite.
Your favorite.
My favorite is... My favorite this week, guys. My favorite this week was the 3-hour nap I had before this podcast. I didn't read anything, I'm sorry. You know what? No, my favorite this week was Ghosts of Mars, because I watched that yesterday night.
Which wasn't as good as Escape from New York.
No, it's not, but it's pretty good.
Oh, I watched Escape from New York.
You know, when you got teeth and baby, you sleep when you can. So, sorry I didn't read anything. And also apologies to everyone who listens for my complete lack of anything resembling... involved
participation
in this week's podcast. I'm just, you know, I'm off my game. I mean, it's too bad we wasted Ryan being on his game.
I know. Well, for a bit. Unfortunately, you don't get a ribbon this week, so.
Oh.
Participation.
Okay.
Because it's like action.
But Ryan, pick us up. What was your favorite?
My favorite was...
Ryan, but okay.
I'll go first, because I'm bad.
Please don't spoil, because this is my favorite book.
So everybody dies in this book.
Oh, what?
Just... kidding. Manifest Destiny issue 4. Chris Dingus and Matthew Roberts. I feel so weird saying that name.
I know, we can't.
Dingus? We'll say Dingus. Because
Mr. D!
this book just keeps getting better and better. Like, they dive more into the little Indian girl. Sorry, Native American girl.
That sounds dirty.
Who was featured in the last page of last issue. Who is actually a fairly prominent historical person. It's Pocahontas. No, it's not.
Pocahontas.
And, oh my god, I gotta sneeze. But it's not there. Spit all over my arm. Sorry. But yeah, there's just some really cool action stuff happening and monsters and things. Oh, this book, I don't know. It's so good and trying to think of how not to spoil it, but like,
but it's rad
and it's so well drawn.
Like, it's really well drawn. I like it.
So awesome. This issue is a lot rougher than the last issue, but it works really well still.
Both your favorite image books are books that I didn't pick up, and I
ghosted in this.
Ghosted in Manifest Destiny, and I plan on. I'm definitely getting the Ghosted trade. There's a bunch at Alpha.
Yeah.
I'll pick up Manifest Destiny. It looks really. It looks very beautifully drawn.
It's awesome. It's such a good book. Such a good beer. That's my favorite.
Cool.
I think for this week. Well, I know it is.
My favorite this week.
Which was my second choice.
Wow, was another number one from the all new Marvel Now-er-ness next. From the creative team of Charles Soule and Javier Pulido is She-Hulk number one. Beautifully illustrated. Really funny and madcap and silly, heavy word count, lots and lots of clever, witty back and forth. The entire story is very dialogue driven. I mean,
which is unfortunate because I can't actually read words.
Yeah, so. there's bits of action interspersed throughout it, but the main piece of action that you is in the book you don't see, and it's pulled off so funny. Like, it's excellent. There's a huge robot battle in order to get to Stark Towers. Jessica Walters has to storm Stark Towers to go and yell at Tony, because last time she ended up having to talk to his stupid little lackey, who's just his lawyer. Yeah, he's just the legal. He's on legal floor. So after she beats up these robots, she just cracks her knuckles. Next page is she's pissed, getting up to the top floor and bothering Tony Stark and throwing the head of one of the robots on the ground with all of her like suit torn and everything. It's really funny. It was such a great delivery. It's very
her purple undies.
Yeah, It's a very bedpan delivery throughout it. And it's
Did
also
you say bedpan?
Yeah, bedpan. Yeah, it means it's all pissy and silver. And
old people use it. I use it sometimes.
I'm now going to say, instead of deadpan, I'm always going to say bedpan, for the rest of my life. That is the best mistake I've ever made.
Yep.
Brody was the best mistake I've ever made.
Good.
That's a good that was my contribution. Right,
but
that was my favorite joke of the night.
It's really cool to read a book about... a specific profession, whether it be like medical or lawyers, because you see tons of those dramas on television, you read them in books all the time, and it's cool to know that this is written by a guy who has a full-time job, like he's also a lawyer. So all the jargon
really?
In the book
because he's literally writing every book as well. Like,
yeah,
he's
in entertainment
insane.
And in immigration law.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he has his own...
He's also in entertaining books.
Yeah. He writes 7 ongoing books.
Bad, right?
He and is a full-time attorney. So it's really cool to read all the back and forth between two lawyers and all the jargon between them and know that it's very authentic. Like, it feels really authentic because I guarantee that it is because he knows what he's saying.
Yeah.
And he knows how he's driving all these conversations. He's really the perfect fit for this book. And Charles Sewell is blowing up and he's one of the biggest names in mainstream comics right now, and he's getting bigger, and I'm really excited to see his star rise because I think he's incredibly talented. And this book is the perfect fit for anyone who's a fan of Hawkeye or Superior Foes or any of the more lighthearted, just really fun superhero
even
comics.
Daredevil.
Yeah, even Daredevil.
Because, I mean, really, it's about a superhero who's a lawyer, so it's
it's Daredevil is actually a lot of him being a superhero, where this is a superhero being a lawyer, instead of a lawyer being a superhero, which is Daredevil. Artistically, it's very similar to Daredevil. That whole Stephen Wacker sort of side, which is now, it's a different editor now, but Tom Brennan, I think, moved in. But
they call all the books that he edits the Whack Pack?
Yeah. Whack.
All of his books are awesome.
Whack.
By the way.
It's
he's leaving to head up like their animation studio or something.
Yeah, he's going to the East Coast or West Coast or going to a coast.
He's going to the best coast.
He's either going north, south, east, or west. But anyway, this was my favorite book this week.
He's actually going back.
this book is gonna fit very, very nicely in this really, really great little section of Marvel now that they've got with funny, very smart written comedies.
Yeah.
Are also like really cool superhero stories too, but sorry.
It seems to be a lot of a day in the life of a superhero or what they're doing when they're not really being a superhero.
What,
so
much
doing
more interesting
else.
Than what they're doing when they are
it
being
is.
A superhero.
I'm worried that because it worked really well with Hawkeye and it seems to be working with Superior Foes and this book has quite a bit of buzz that most books are going to end up like this. I have this irrational
fear.
No,
God, no. Oh, my
fear.
God.
But I don't know. I had to be like, I'd prefer that because I like books like that.
It would be nice to have something different for a change.
Yeah.
That's
but
why
at the
this
same,
book
I'm
is
worried
so
that, I'm worried
perfect.
That it's going to get so diluted that it's not going to be different. I guess.
It's
look,
not going to
When
happen.
You look at, like, you know, how the history of comic books, I guess.
It's really not going to. Trust me.
I'm scared I have meningitis, so don't worry about it. I'm scared of everything. But no, it's really cool, and I'm glad that it's a different style of book like those other ones are. I dropped Avengers this week, so, you know.
Really? Oh, the Avengers this week was excellent.
I have read the last 3 issues and have no ambition to. I was like, oh, fuck, I made it through Infinity.
You weren't into it.
See, I have this thing with Hickman lately where it's like, oh, fuck, reading a book of his is kind of a chore for me.
It's heavy.
Like, Manhattan Projects is fine because it's a little more action-y and silly in a way, but, like, it's a chore for me to get through a Hickman book at times.
It's
so
pretty heavy stuff,
whatever.
I loved the new issue of Avengers.
You know what was my least favorite part about this book? Is that in the back, they showed this editor, Janine Schaefer, and they showed a picture of her baby girl that she just had.
Isn't that Tom Brennan?
I thought that
was kid.
No, Janine Schaefer.
Oh, sorry.
Adorable little girl. Just a gift to the world. Absolutely. But gift to the world. But fuck, they named her Margot, and that just makes me so angry. I have like this irrational hate for stupid names. Like names that I deem are stupid, like Antony and fucking Atom.
Margot's a good name.
His name is an Atom.
I hate the name Margot. Like name your daughter Bia.
I have a theory as to why it bothers you.
Yeah.
Because you'll never find love.
Absolutely. Probably.
All right. We're gonna wrap up this sort of half speed episode of the Geeks Empty Comics Roundup.
Never quite got out of neutral.
Never quite made it. But hey, you know what? They can't.
Lowest energy.
Here's the thing, though.
That was good.
We work without a net, and that means that sometimes we're gonna have fantastic shows.
We work without a net, which also means that when I score goals, they just go right to the backboards.
Do you know what else?
Name
a net?
Nobody's jugs are bigger than Annette's. It's from Greece. Funicello, big old.
I need to watch Greece again too.
No, you don't.
I was in Greece. We talk about this all the time.
I played Danny Zuko.
Yeah. All right.
So what was it like?
Look, if it wasn't for the fact that we missed last week, this would be less disappointing. I think.
As an aside, playing Danny Zuko. So what was it like being waist deep in pussy all the time? Probably.
Jesus, waist deep. Do you put your feet in?
I just assume that anybody who's Danny Zuko just like girls everywhere.
Basically, what happens is you only attract women with cavernous vaginas. Mm.
Oh.
So you're waist
deep. So you have to go spelunking inside a human being?
You gotta go spelunking before you can go boner bumping.
I mean, I don't know. Batman went spelunking, so it's cool.
What?
And Batman Begins when he buys all the things and he's like, what's it called?
Oh, yeah,
spelunking.
That's cool. Yeah.
Spelunking is such a great word. Spelunking. Sounds like someone taking a poop.
Spunking.
All right. Until next week, where hopefully we'll be much more entertaining. I am Joey G.
I'm hilarious and Ryan. Yeah. See?
Bobby G. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. I love you.
Love you.
Bonus content.
Could I have some decorum?
No, the bonus content is, okay, main event, Elimination Chamber.
What do you figure?
I hope it's Brian.
Here's what I hope happens.
Yeah.
I hope that Orton retains through some form of shenanigans where Brian gets fucked over where he should have won.
Yeah.
So that it becomes a triple threat at WrestleMania and Brian wins there.
I think that actually would be a better match than just Brian Orton. Brian Batista.
Because Batista's going to suck regardless.
Yep. I'd love for the last two people to be either Orton or Brian and then Cesaro.
Well, Cesaro and Brian.
He's getting a push here.
He's on the pay-per-view for the first NXT pay-per-view.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's doing a match with Sami Zayn on the
first. Oh my goodness, I do watch.
The problem is it's airing live on the WWE Network, which we don't get because we live in Canada.
Oh.
So we'll just watch it the next day.
Oh heavens, I wonder if I'll
be able to find
the
way
to watch it. Legally, of course.
All right, well, okay. That was the bonus content.
I can get American
Let me go.
Fucking arrest me, whatever. I take American Netflix.
Fucking arrest me.
Sorry. Whatever. People who I'm not even screwing out of money.
I'm gonna pop your Don Cherry. Fuck off.
I'm sorry you watch your show. It's on American Netflix and not Canadian. Now you lost fucking 4 cents.
Did they lose money?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
I never understood how Netflix can be profitable for anybody.
For her, like, what do you mean? Well, because Netflix pays a license fee to the content provider, so they get paid regardless of whether you watch it. So they've already made their money. I don't think they get like a per viewing thing. Based on the number of views that you're anticipated to get, if they're gonna, they can probably charge more or less.
Oh, okay.
But like they pay for a tape library, basically.
That makes sense.
So Netflix makes their money based on how many people subscribe, and Netflix purchases the content from the providers.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. I was thinking
that's why they expire all the time.
Oh.
That's why stuff goes away because they can only purchase the rights to stream it for a limited time.
Oh. Thanks for explaining that for me.
You're very welcome.
I've always wondered. In fairness to my Netflix thing, I do pay for my own subscription, so suck it. I still take American Netflix.
Would you like a medal?
Yes.
All right, love you, bye.
Bye.